Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone. Dr. Jennings, while speaking to a live audience, addressed an important and sometimes contentious topic in our culture these days. Let me just say that this presentation is intended for mature audiences only. The question, as offered by a listener at the conference, was, as a Christian, how do we understand homosexuality in today's world? Here's the doctor's Bible-based answer.
According to the Intersex Society, there are multiple intersex conditions. These are different conditions in where a person is not clearly male or female. I heard a prominent televangelist got on TV or wrote in his blog, I'm not sure where it was, but made this declarative, every human being is either male or female. This is not true. Some people are actually somewhere in between male or female. According to the Intersex Society of North America, 1% of live births exhibit some degree of sexual ambiguity. 0.1 to 0.2% of live births are so ambiguous that they have to have some type of medical intervention, including surgical intervention or other interventions to designate their sexual identity. And then there's epigenetics. Epigenetics, epi means above, genetics mean the genome. It's the instructions that sit above the genes telling the cells in your body how to express themselves. You see, you have the same set of chromosomes, unless you're a chimera, and same set of chromosomes in every cell of your body. But your heart cells are different than your bone cells, which are different than your brain cells, which are different than your retinal cells. All these cells are different. Why? Because there's a set of instructions on the chromosomes telling the chromosomes in different parts of your body how to express themselves, to be unique to those places in your body that you need them. This is epigenetics, the instructions sitting above it. Fetuses start out oriented female and require masculinization to become male. University of California researcher William Rice identified two epigenetic markers that may be involved. Testosterone masculinizes the brain. Epigenetic markers will protect female brains from masculinization. So there are different levels of testosterone in different women. And some women with high testosterone without these markers, their little girls could have a masculinized brain. And so these markers protect the brain from being masculinized by the testosterone in the mother. And male brains, the markers are set differently to make them more sensitive to testosterone, so they will masculinize. Sometimes these markers don't get reset properly. And there can be partial penetrance because there's billions of neurons. And so you can have an effeminate heterosexual male, or a tomboy female, or a very macho gay man, or a very effeminate lesbian, depending on how the penetrance happens with some of these things. And then I want to talk to you about neural development. From birth to the first 8 years of life, the brain is going through massive remodeling. The baby born at birth has millions of neurons more at birth than that brain will have by the time it's 8 years of age. Millions of neurons are being knocked off. Now, at first, this doesn't sound too good, but conceptualize it as Michelangelo's block of marble when he gets it and Michelangelo's block of marble when he's done with it. When Michelangelo's done, he has less marble, doesn't he? But he has a masterpiece. The brain comes into the world prepared to be acted upon by education, environment, experience. Neural circuits which are used will be expanded. New connections will be made. Neural circuits not being used are pruned back. This is normal brain development happening in all brains. And then there's a second wave of neurogenesis. New neurons being produced by the millions, followed by several more years of remodeling, reshaping. This neurogenesis wave peaks in girls at age 11 and boys at 12, followed by reshaping. This is preparing for puberty and secondary sexual development. This is normal brain development. Why do I tell you this? Because I'm going to tell you about Tara. Tara, 34-year-old white female, came to see me. She was complaining of anxiety, depression was emerging, feeling as if she's unable to cope with life. She identified herself at her presentation as bisexual, but states she used to be lesbian many years ago, but later became bisexual. She told me that her first roommate at age 14, when she went away to a Christian boarding school, she had a lesbian relationship with, and this is how she came to identify herself as lesbian. And when she went away to college, her female roommate there, she also had a sexual relationship with her, with only confirmed for her that she was lesbian. But after that, she began to have relationships with men and identified herself as bisexual, eventually became married and had a child, daughter, by the time she came to see me. And so she changed the identity of herself into being bisexual. The key history to understand Tara was that Tara's father molested her from the time of her earliest memories until she moved out at age 14 and went to boarding school. But the type of molestation was not violent, threatening, fear-based at all. It was, in fact, a seductive, romantic experience in which he bought her flowers and gifts and took her out to hotels and motels and trips and just treated her like a romance, like his girlfriend, is how he treated his daughter. And it caused, as you can imagine, in a developing child, serious confusion in normal boundaries between self, others, intimacy, and she had a merging in her mind of healthy love and sex. They all merged. And so if you love somebody, in her mind, you have sex with them. That's what you do. And so she went away to high school and she found she loved her roommate. And so she had sex with her. And she loved her college roommate and she had sex with her. And later she met some guys that she studied with and she loved them. She had sex with them. This is what you do when you love somebody and those boundaries have been all blurred. And she said to me in therapy after about a year of working with her, she said, I've never been intimate with somebody I didn't have sex with. And I said, what about us? You see, because therapy is a very intimate process when you really bare your soul to your therapist and work through your issues. And I can promise you we kept healthy boundaries. And it shocked her. She really was like stunned. It was like a deer in the headlights. She sat there just let her think for minutes and minutes. She came back to her next appointment and she said to me, Dr. Jennings, I'm not bisexual. I'm not lesbian. I'm heterosexual. I never addressed her sexuality, never. I addressed her trauma and her confused identity and her confused individuality. Now, the problem is that people who are on the religious right will find individuals like Tara who are biologically heterosexual, but through some trauma or confused issue, have had confusion in their own sense of self and lived a homosexual lifestyle and think they're homosexual, and then they get some type of therapy or healing, and they have a change in their sexual orientation, and they will hold them up as an example to all those others that I gave you. And it's wrong. She does not represent all those biologic defects. She didn't have one. Are you following me on this? So what determines male and female? Is it chromosomes? Is it genitalia? Is it hormone levels? Is it mental orientation, identity, individuality? Is it behavior? What does all this mean? All physical defects of any kind are a result of sin damaging this creation. But does that mean all defects are sin? Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. It is not our place to judge others. We don't know their circumstance. But then what do you do with passages like this in Romans? For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way also men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. What do we do with these types of passages? First, we have to recognize the context, and the context is one of worship. If you read the immediate passages before, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. They preferred images made with their own hands to the truth about God. Therefore, God gave them up to reap the consequences of their behavior. And the type of worship they were in, they were into all types of fertility cult worship and sexual acting out worship practices. And that's what happens when you exchange the image of God for all of this stuff. This is what Paul's condemning. But can you exchange something you don't possess? Can you exchange blue shoes for red shoes if you don't possess a pair of blue shoes? Yes or no? One cannot exchange natural relations if one does not possess natural relations. That's what the scripture says. They exchange the natural. Romans is not talking about what we call homosexuality today, individuals with biological deviations in sexual development. Romans is speaking of individuals who are heterosexual by their biology, but through rejecting God and engaging in hedonistic pagan practices have changed themselves. This is what Romans is condemning. Further evidence for what I'm telling you. Homosexuality that we call today consistently runs between 1% and 3% in nature, and that's in human populations or animal populations. The rates are about the same. This is consistent with the random variations in biology and neural development in a system that is disconnected from God and his constant care with these various mutations and other things happening. So 1% to 3%. How many of the men in the city of Sodom turned out to demand the visitors to sexually abuse? How many of the men turned out according to Scripture? 100%. This is not what we are dealing with in society today. If you think it is, think about a city in which 100% of the men in the city are gay. That is not what we're dealing with today. So what does the Bible condemn? False worship, rejecting the truth about God for a lie, which results in damaging what's healthy and natural. This results in damaging the human being and inciting selfishness in the heart and a desire to exploit other people when you reject the truth of God for a lie. Ezekiel chapter 16, notice the sin of your sister Sodom. This was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. The issue is primarily about rejecting a God of love and becoming self-centered that you'll exploit and take advantage of other people. That was the sin of Sodom. They wanted to abuse those people who were visitors. And thus, failure to love is detestable. Thus, the people from Westboro Baptist Church who picketed Matt Shepherd's funeral are the true Sodomites. It is an abomination to choose to purposely corrupt God's design. It would be the same as a person with good eyes and good vision taking hot pokers and purposely burning out their eyes. Such behavior would be an abomination. But a person born blind is not an abomination. Are they? Modern day lepers. 2,000 years ago, persons suffering with skin diseases, vitiligo, psoriasis, eczema, as well as the actual condition we call leprosy today, were all considered lepers. Not only did they have the biological burden of their disease and sickness to deal with, they were shunned by their communities and they were condemned by the religious authorities. This is what we've done to homosexuals today. Not only do they have biological problems that they're dealing with that cause their life to be a great burden, but they're shunned by their communities and condemned by the religious authorities. Who sinned that this man was born blind? They asked Christ. Neither. This was permitted so that God's glory could be manifested in him. Who sinned that this person was born gay? Neither. This was permitted so that God's character of love could be glorified in them. All creation groans under the weight of sin. When the woman was caught in an act of actual sexual sin, she was actually in the act of an adulterous experience, the very behavior of doing wrong, and was drugged before Christ. How did he treat her? What did he say? Neither do I condemn you. Go and live a better life. Go and sin no more. Our responsibility is to love like Jesus. Bring people to Jesus and leave it to him to convict them of any sin in their life and change what needs to be changed in their life. It's not our job to convict people of sin and to condemn people. God wants his children to grow up. I invite you to advance on to maturity, love for God and others, understanding and living in harmony with God's design, and cooperating with God to fulfill his purposes.
That was Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings, addressing a live audience on the topic of homosexuality and the Christian. Thank you for tuning in. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.